At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast. We're always in an age of worry. There's always something that's going on in the outside world that's troubling us. And to me, I take it as, okay, if this is true, what can we do about it? Since this doesn't seem to be something that's going to be eliminated from our lives. Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. I am your co-host, Michelle Amaros, and I am sitting here with my mother, Barb, and we are super excited to be chatting with you all again this week on another one of life's interesting conversations. Hello, Mom.
Hi, Michelle. I'm very excited as well. I love our conversations.
Yes, I do too. And this week we have a pretty good topic, I think. I mean, hopefully every week is good, but I think that this is something that is pretty timely and up for a lot of people. And given the climate of life, it's something that's all on the top of our minds.
I think that's why I love our conversations, and I'm very grateful that we have the podcast. Thank you so much for starting this podcast. We talk about all of the things that are up for all of us, you know, whatever it is in any given week. And I think that this one in particular, this can be up a lot. It can be something that happens often when we don't even realize it. So I'm very, very, very excited to talk about this because you're right, Michelle. I think we've been talking to a lot of people. I've had a lot of DMs in my accounts, and I think people are at a place, you know, I'll say today, but maybe it's all the time because this particular topic does happen to, you know, come into our psyche a lot, and that's worry.
Yes. You know, as I was driving over here to record this episode, my favorite song of all time came on the radio, which is John Mayer's The Age of Worry. And I happened to catch his intro to the song on his channel on Sirius XM, where he talks about a song that he's about to play. And he said that he wrote that song back in like 2010 or 2011, and how interesting it is that seemingly writing that in a time where worry felt very up, and then he went on to say, but how appropriate even in these days now. And so I think it proves the point that we're always in an age of worry. There's always something that's going on in the outside world that's troubling us. And to me, I take it as, okay, if this is true, what can we do about it? Since this doesn't seem to be something that's going to be eliminated from our lives.
Well, first I want to say, wow, that is real serendipity. You're driving over here to have this conversation together. And I know how much you love that song. And
I hadn't heard it in a while
either.
So
incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I think also when we talk about worry, worry just comes in, I think, more often than we are even aware, more often than we even know. And so as we go through this episode today, it might be kind of interesting when you're done listening to it, just to kind of, you know, make a pact with yourself that you're going to just start to become a little bit more aware of how often your mind goes to worry. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be just so benign, like, oh, I hope I get to this important meeting in time. I left the house 5 minutes too late. Or any of those kind of things, those little tiny things that happen. Because worry takes our energy, it shifts our mindset. And I, for me, it causes me to then worry about more things than not. It kind of feeds upon itself.
A slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I actually don't even know if we've ever talked about this or I've ever thought about it, but like how do you define worry? What is worry?
For me, worry is the example that I just gave. I hope I'm not late for my meeting, this important meeting that I'm going to, because I left the house, you know, 5 minutes late. And so where that would impact me, if I live over the bridge. So I always have to cross a bridge. And I know that
you all know about our bridge demon. If you've been listening to this show since the beginning, we know we have a bridge demon amongst us.
Yes. So I live over the bridge. And so at any given moment, the bridge can go up. Now that does have a schedule, but that doesn't mean it's always on schedule. So I always have to factor the bridge in, because depending on how long it's going to be up or what's going to happen. And anytime I leave a little bit later than I think that I need to leave, because I like to have a cushion before I go anywhere, I always like to be on time and I don't want to feel rushed. So feeling rushed leads to me worrying. And that's a big one. It's a big trigger for me. When I start to feel like I'm being rushed, or if I start to think about, even before I even get into the car, if I just start to think about all of the things that I have to do to prepare myself to get into the car, I start, that to me is worry. That's how I would define worry. But then of course, the bigger picture of worry.
But you have worry outside of car stuff.
Of course, that's what I'm trying to say. Lots of little, the car is an example of something smaller. And then we can move to the bigger picture of worry. You know, worrying when you went to college, worrying about money and financial situations, worrying about if someone's really upset with me and I'm not sure if they are or they aren't, but I'm starting to worry because what if they are and what am I going to do about it? You know, worrying about, do I have anything in the refrigerator for dinner tonight? Just worry takes on all of those. It's like a chameleon, I think. It takes on all those different clothing pieces of clothing in my mind. It like puts a different piece of clothing on all the time. And that's why I feel like it's so insidious. I don't feel like we're aware a lot of the times. And maybe what I'm trying to say and what you're trying to get at in the question is that maybe we don't know if it's worry or not. Maybe we're not even identifying it, that it is worry. We're not naming it.
Right.
Maybe some of you listening and the things that I'm saying that are, I consider a form of worry, aren't really worry in your mind. So I guess it's for me, I guess then if the things that I'm talking about maybe don't, you know, ring true in your heart, that that is a sign of worry. Maybe it would be very important to sort out for you in particular, what is worry and how does it affect your body and how does it take over your mind?
Well, I think what's interesting for me when I think about worry is that, and kind of what I was getting at when I was asking you the question, is it can take a lot of shapes and look like a lot of different examples in everyone's lives. But ultimately, what's interesting for me about it is it's a thought process and a thought pattern that can't take place in the present moment, because you are thinking about something from the past or something in the future. And it's that interesting uncertainty that I think we cultivate and then feed with our thoughts that builds in the present moment of like, okay, to take your example, I'm here in the car, but I'm on my way, but the bridge could go up and then I'll be late. So it's funny that the process of worrying isn't even, this is kind of going to sound heady, but it isn't even like really real because it's stuff that hasn't even happened or isn't actually in existence in that moment in time.
I'm so happy that you went there because one of my favorite all-time quotes about worry, and this definitely dates me because probably many of you listening haven't even heard of this person possibly, is from Irma Bombeck, you know, a fabulous writer. And she says this, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. And that is exactly what you just said. It takes you out of the present moment where all your power is, where all your ability to choose and plan and create and all those things, it takes you out of your life really and puts you in the past, worrying about something or thinking about something or ruminating about something that's already happened where you cannot change it, or, you know, sending you into the future where you aren't even there yet. And so I love this so much because it gives you something to do. So that's what I think where I was trying to go with some of the things that I was trying to say. It gives you something to do and you're not even naming it or aware that it's worry because right. We're so used to doing it.
Right. It's a natural.
Yeah. Our brains have been trained to do that. We really haven't been taught all the things and all the ways that we can stop from worrying and why it's absolutely gets you nowhere. And it's not good. It doesn't help. It's not helpful. It isn't in good or bad, I guess. And I'm not really a fan maybe of naming things good or bad, but it's not helpful. Right. And actually often it can be harmful.
Well, I think to your point, it's so insidious in nature and it's so second nature, I guess, to say that we don't often realize that we're doing it or necessarily the toll that it's taking on our mental and emotional energy. And it takes up a lot of our brain power and our time. And do we even realize it because it's so second nature? And I think it's interesting because I definitely used to be a big, big worrier, worrying about everything, what people think of me, if I'm doing something wrong, if some things about my life, everything. And it's something that I've definitely worked on. And I guess I'm probably a good example. Not like I'm trying to pat myself on the back, but I think I've gotten better about it. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I worry as much unnecessarily as I used to. And it's a practice for sure. But I guess it's nice to know that it's something that we can chip away at. But it's so easy to default into worry when something happens in our lives or we're just going about our daily routine and there's space to be filled with something. Worry is so commonly the thing that fills a gap.
Absolutely, Michelle. I love what you just said. And I think I really love that you opened it up with that worry is so common that it's second nature. So I've been thinking about second nature and the use of that lately. So what's first nature? What's our true nature? And I think if we start to focus, because you're right, this is all a practice, first of all. You are absolutely right. It's not something that comes naturally to us because we're not aware. We're not really always aware. I don't want to say never, but we're not really always aware when we go into worry because we don't even realize it. We're not even cognizant of it. And so our first nature, our true nature is to be present, is to understand and know deeply that we have the confidence and the ability to take care of whatever happens in the moment. I mean, really trusting ourselves and relying on ourselves to know that if something happens, it's okay. we're going to take the next step, and then we're going to take the next step, and we're going to take the action that is in alignment with the need of the moment. And if the bridge goes up and I'm late, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. But we make things so, we make things so important, I think, as well.
And severe.
And severe. So I think it, when we can start to focus more on what our first and true nature is, I think that could be kind of a signal or a sign to say, wait a minute, I'm worrying right now. What am I worrying about? And bring yourself back to the present moment. Can I do anything about it? No. So let me enjoy this moment. You know, if you listen to the radio on the way, or you listen to a podcast, or whatever it is when you're driving. I always bring up driving because that's been one of my greatest teachers. It's something that is always up for me when I'm driving. Not always, but it's often up for me when I'm driving. And I think it's really wonderful to have something that brings you back to the moment. So when I'm driving, I make every effort possible to stay present. Stay present to the driving, stay present to what's around me, stay in the present moment, knowing that all is well right now and everything will be okay when I get wherever it is that I'm going. Because I'm giving it all of my attention, which right. More often than not, if I'm paying attention, not a lot of things necessarily bad or not a lot of things difficult can happen.
Well, and if you're paying attention and being present, you can handle it if it is.
Exactly. And I think, you know, and I like this idea of not even being aware. And so, you know, just ask yourself the question, in distressful situations, how many times has your worried mind helped you?
Distressful? Is that a word?
I don't know.
Distress and stressful?
I don't know.
I don't know if I've heard that before.
In stressful or difficult situations, how many times has worry helped you? Or the flip side of that is, how many times is worry taking you into a place that when you're done, you're exhausted and you're not even quite sure how you got there to begin with? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's what's important. We often on this podcast say awareness is the key.
Yeah,
awareness is the key to living the life that we deeply desire for our success, for our happiness, for all of the things that we're looking for. So awareness. So in this episode, really making it a point and really making it a priority that I'm going to try to see, what is my relationship with worry? What does worry mean to me? And start really paying attention to what it does to my mind and my energy and my attitude, my mood. I think it does, for me, it does a lot of harm. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes me worn out before I even get to where I'm going often, if I am worrying a lot.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, to use that quote that you said at the beginning, that it's like a rocking chair, but it's giving you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. Think about, you're going, but you're not actually doing anything productive or contributing to the solution to whatever it is that you're actually worrying about. And I think that's why it's kind of insidious for so many of us and why anxiety is so high for so many of us, because somewhere in our brains or in our brain chemistry or in our neural pathways, I think it lives in us that perhaps if I worry enough, like I'll figure it out, or I'll get to a solution, or something will make sense, or I can prohibit the thing that I'm worried about from happening. It's like, oh, if I just keep ruminating about this, I'll get to that place, which obviously we know isn't really true, because, you know, that's just not how life works out. But it's kind of like a catch-22 for our minds and for human nature, because life is so unpredictable, uncontrollable, and uncertain. And as humans, you know, I think it's our nature, one of our natures, maybe not our first nature or second nature, but it's our nature to try and find ways to gain control or to have a say in what happens. And I think that's where worry steps in, where our minds go into some sort of overdrive of, if I think enough about this, or if I write enough stories about a situation that could happen, or if I contemplate all of the possibilities, then maybe life won't be so uncertain or uncontrollable because my brain has already gone there. But, you know, it doesn't end up helping us and it doesn't take us to where we want to be or mentally give us ease or peace.
I mean, absolutely not. It is not helpful. And many people say to me in the course of all the years of talking about worry, they'll say, but when I start to worry about something, I think paralleling what you just said, Michelle, when I start to worry about something, I come up with better ideas or I come up with solutions to how I can solve the problem. And my answer always to that is, yes, let's say you're sitting somewhere and you're thinking about something that happened in the past. Now, we can't change the past, but we can actually come up with some solutions that might impact what had already happened. So it's not really the past then anymore. We will be in the present moment. And so, yes, worry can make us aware sometimes of, oh my gosh, I have to do this thing that I forgot about. And so I think we have that, oh my gosh, I have to do this. But what happens then after that, for me, I'm speaking from experience, what happens then? Then I go into all of the overreactions, misconceptions, worst case scenario things or ideas that can impact me if I don't remember this thing or if I don't correct this thing.
Right.
Or if I don't act on this particular thing that I just thought of that is probably from the past, but it's in the present because I'm thinking about it here. So if I keep it in the present moment, I usually will say to myself before I get down the rabbit hole of worry, I'll say, wait a minute. Yes, I do need to take care of this. I forgot about it, or it's something that came to my attention that I have a new solution to it. I can't do it right now because I'm driving, or I can't do it right now because I'm in the middle of a very important meeting. I can't do it right now because I'm spending time with my daughter talking to her about how her day went at school.
Right.
So, but I could take a pause and write it down if I wanted to, or I can just trust myself that I'm going to remember it. Because I think the reason I don't remember things as easily as I think that I should be able to now that I'm 67 is because my mind is running away with so many other misconceptions and so many other things. And the sooner that I can move away from, the sooner that I can stop resisting the present moment and finding it more comfortable to worry about things that happened in the past or worry about things that could happen in the future, the sooner that I'll find that sense of ease that you're talking about, peace mm-hmm. that you're talking about, power that we always talk about on this show, and also the ability to remember.
Right.
I feel I don't remember things often enough as I feel like I could, and it's always because the mind has taken me down a place. And I just wanted to say one more thing that I believe what I've been noticing, especially in this few years of going through my divorce, what I've been noticing is that worry leads to so much of our anxiety, leads to so much of our overwhelm, leads to so much of our inability to feel comfortable in our own skin or confident or know that we can handle things so much better than we thought we could. You gave that study, I think, in one of our recent episodes that studies have shown that 85% of what we worry about never happens. And the 15% that does happen, we handle it so much better than we thought we could. And so that's proof enough that we have the confidence, we have the ability, we are capable of handling the difficult things that come up in our life. We don't need to extend it into all the what ifs and the should haves and the could haves that we impose upon ourselves. And I believe then when we're in an anxious or overwhelmed situation, the sooner that we can accept that, okay, I'm feeling anxiety right now, or I'm feeling worried about something right now, naming it, and then we accept it and we could bring ourselves back to the present moment, knowing that nothing is ever permanent, that feeling of worry is not going to last forever because no feeling is ever final. Feelings don't have the power to name who we are. And it doesn't last forever. And I always rely on Maya Angelou's quote, every storm runs out of rain, which I know that we've talked about on the episodes before. So what I'm trying to say with all of this really is that we have to have things in our back pocket to combat the mind going to worry because it's been trained to do that.
Right.
So we have to have these little tricks.
Right.
Because the mind is a tricky customer. I like to call it the tricky customer.
We've heard you say
so
that.
So we have to have the tricks. We have to have the tools. We have to have the, wait a minute, I'm driving right now. I don't need to be worried about this, but I do want to remember what it is that I thought about because I have another solution in mind.
Right.
Or if you name the solution, if you've got the solution, name it, put it out there so that your mind then can understand, hey, I don't have to do this anymore. She's got this.
Yeah. So many things to say about all of that.
There usually is.
Yeah. It's like, as you're talking and when you talk, I let you go, but sometimes you talk for a chunk of time and I have lots of retorts.
It's good. I love
it. I have to try to remember all of them. But firstly, that's your point about having so many thoughts and, you know, being able to act on them. That's where I find the power of when we say give your thoughts a home in journaling. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have somewhere where you can write something down, then your mind won't hold on to it and take up so much of that space worrying about forgetting about the thing. And so if that's an area of worry where you just find yourself constantly ruminating about things that you have to do or not forgetting something or anything like that, you know, that's the practice of journaling is huge for that. That could be your trick or tip in that regard. But then also going backwards to the study that you cited from ACHNet that says 85% of worry, what we worry about, doesn't actually ever happen. That's like a huge, I know we've talked about it in the past, but like thinking about 85% is a lot. I could imagine that I would have thought that maybe a study like that would have been like maybe 55%, like, you know, a little more than half doesn't happen because, you know, life is hard and unpredictable. So like stuff is going to happen and it's not always going to be pretty. So like, yeah, worrying can really, like, you should worry. That's what I would have expected out of a study like that. But the fact that it's 85%, that's an extreme number, with 15% being, you know, what could happen. But then the study going on to say that the 15% that does actually end up happening, we handle it so much better than we thought that we would. That just says so much to me about the mind, again, and how powerful it is and how much it impacts our life and our viewpoint of life, but also just how unnecessary the worry actually is. And even if we just stop right here to think about like our own personal lives and what we actually personally uniquely worry about and think about like, okay, 85% of this isn't going to happen. Like there's some relief that comes from even just recognizing that I don't need to be on guard for some of these things like that are just not in the realm of my possibilities. And where can I actually place my energy instead?
And that's why the first nature, our first ability, our first nature, if you want to call it that, is truth, is the true nature, is really every step of the way in life, aligning, checking back in with yourself, with your heart, checking back in within. What is true in this moment? What is actually true? And so it makes sense to me that what's actually true would be 85% of what we worry about never happens because we worry so much. And I think that's why you and I are dedicating a whole episode to worry. We worry so much. And I think maybe even the title of this episode should be called Worrying Just Isn't Worth It, and in parentheses, ever. Because
I wrote a blog that was called that.
Yes, and I think it's genius because it's so true. It's the Irma Bombeck quote. It's like being in a rocking chair and going nowhere. It gets you nowhere. And if you're still a little bit skeptical of that, try it. Think about the things you worry about and just really be a scientist as you're doing this and think, okay, I'm worried right now. What is it that I'm worried about? Is it possible that this could happen? And if the answer is no, then use one of these tips to stop. Bring your mind back to the present moment and say, this storm of worry is going to run out of rain. you know, or just, I'm confident, I've got this, all is well in this moment, using one of those affirmations that we talk about regularly. And if the answer is true, this worry could happen, then ask yourself, what can I do in this moment about it? Could I journal about it? I love your journaling, Michelle. You are a genius in the journaling. You have taught me so much about how giving your thoughts a home is so key. What can I do about it then? What is the action that I can take? This worry that I'm doing right now could happen. But is it happening right now to me? No, but it could happen. So what can I do to ease my mind? What can I do to bring my mind back to the present moment where the thing is not actually happening? And what could I do to kind of put the worry on notice, so to speak, that, whoa, this is something that could happen. Let me sort out what could I do now, or what could I do when it comes, when it actually happens. And I think the thing that I always say to myself, what I can do when it actually happens, is be present, is know and have trust in myself that I can handle it. That it may be difficult, it may be painful, I may suffer, but I got it. And it may not be easy, but I can do the hard thing.
Right.
And I think that that's important. And you always talk a lot about, Michelle, you know, that these are all practices that we have to train ourselves to do. And go ahead and go into that analogy that you use about taking the mind to the gym and the repetitions, because it's key. It's so genius. This is not something that just comes. We have to train ourselves. So just like we train the body, you always talk about, we have to train the mind. We have to be vigilant. We have to have commitment to this practice of identifying worry and then knowing what to do about it.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We have officially reached the spooky season. So what's something that scares you? If you've listened to the show, I've talked about my own fears of being left behind, not reaching my dreams and my goals, and lots of other things. With this time of year, Halloween lets us have fun with what scares us. But what about those fears that don't involve the zombies and the ghosts? Therapy is a great tool for facing your fears and finding ways to overcome them. Because sometimes the scariest thing is not facing our fears in the first place and holding ourselves back. I've talked about often on the show how much therapy has benefited me and has changed my life, honestly. I wouldn't be the person that I am today without being in therapy and seeking out help when I need it the most from a licensed professional. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's amazing. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. You can overcome your fears today with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/barbknowsbest today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/barbknowsbest. Hi friends, if you're a makeup and skincare girly like I am, you know how important the products are, but have you ever thought about how you apply them is even more important for the results that we're all looking for? Since 2019, Anissa Beauty has been leading the way in creating vegan and cruelty-free makeup and skincare brushes that are safe for your skin and the planet, which is so important to us. Known for their viral and award-winning Pinnacle Foundation Brush, Anissa Beauty has become a fan favorite among beauty lovers. What truly sets them apart is their innovation in skincare brushes, offering tools and specifically designed to pair with moisturizers, serums, and cleansers. They're one of the few brands dedicated to elevating skincare routines with expertly designed brushes that optimize the application and absorption of skincare products. The Anissa Beauty Pinnacle Foundation Brush is an absolute game changer in our routine. My mom and I have been loving adding it into our beauty routine, and it's been so fun to see the benefits and the results. The Pinnacle Foundation Brush is more than just a brush. It's a gateway to understanding that the tool that you use can be more important than the actual product. Anissa Beauty's brushes deliver value and quality like no other, which has completely changed how I apply skincare. I no longer use my hands and I let the brush do the work, ensuring smooth, even application every time. These brushes aren't just tools, they elevate your entire routine. And it's been amazing to try it out. Check out the Pinnacle Foundation Brush as well as several other amazing brushes at anisabeauty.com and get 30% off site-wide with code BARBKNOWSBEST. That's A-N-I-S-A beauty.com. With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Well, yeah, if it's true that our minds are tricky customers, like you say, they're going to be a bit unruly and, you know, not necessarily behave in ways that we want them to. And I think the trickiest customers of mine are the minds that worry the most. And I think the antidote to worry is acceptance and the commitment to being in the present moment of, okay, even if the thing that I'm worrying about does actually happen, I still can't change that. I still can't. What is what is, and what will be. And even I could spend my whole life worrying as a preventative measure from, you know, my greatest fear and say, I'm going to spend my days worrying because if I think about it long and hard enough, eventually I'll come up with a solution or something that will prevent me from reaching this thing that I'm so worried about. But that's not controlling. We know we can't control the external world. So even if that were an effect, like it's not effective because it could still happen. You know, I was thinking about, as you were talking, worry and where it was so at the surface and present for so many of us was during COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, we were all so worried about becoming infected with COVID and what was going to happen and how it was going to impact us individually and on a global scale and all of those things. There was so, so much worry during that time.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, of course, rightfully so. It was a very scary and uncertain time. But if I'm thinking about it from like my own personal perspective of being worried about it all, at some point I would have to just do everything that I know to do and not, and can't worry about the what ifs. And it's like, I could do everything to protect myself from COVID, but that's not to say that I'm going to control whether or not I actually ever got COVID. And so the same goes for any other kind of worry. And I guess I say all this because that's why acceptance is the antidote, because no matter what, if time is still moving and we're still breathing and life is still happening, things are going to happen that we can't control and that we can't predict and we can't necessarily prepare for. And so rather than robbing the current moment's joy and energy and presence of what is right now out of fear of what could or is to come, how can we just start to lean into the idea of acceptance, the idea of trust, and the idea of that faith that if the 15% of what we actually worry about does happen, we will handle it better than we thought we ever could.
And I think you're right. The antidote is acceptance. And once we can, that's why I think it's, you know, going back to relating it to working out the muscles in the gym.
Oh, sorry. I didn't even actually get to that.
No, it's okay. Because what you said was beautiful. It's so we have to have an alternative to worry. I believe we have to have something to, replace worry with. We have to be aware that we're worrying. We have to say to ourselves, oh my gosh, I'm worrying right now. Can I do anything? No. So then really connecting to the truth within that is, I got this and I'll be able to handle it when it happens. So that's the acceptance that you're talking about. Really trusting yourself and understanding that. So that's the strengthening. Those are the repetitions that we have to do. And we have to do it all the time. We have to be aware that we're worrying. We have to say, wait a minute, I'm worrying about this. Can I do anything about it? Just like COVID. And I'm worried about this. Can I do anything about it? Well, I am doing everything that I possibly can do. Oh, okay. So I'm going to trust that all is well. That's kind of the mindset that I'm in, because it's a high vibration mindset. It's a truthful mindset. But we're so used to falling into the low vibe mindsets of worry and unease. It just feels comfortable.
Well,
and it doesn't feel good, but
we're
used to it. That's what I'm saying. And so we're accustomed to it. So it feels like the right thing to do. And I think it's why we often feel like, no, worry's been helping me.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't help. It may help you become aware of something that maybe you can take an action in the present moment, but then that's it, you're done. So it's not, in my mind, it's not really worry. It's, oh, I've just become aware of something that I can do. Let me sort out what it is that I can do. And I think of the idea of, we're so accustomed to this. So I like to think of it as, because we're so used to, all of us can relate to working out our arms and our legs and our core to strengthen our body. All of us. All of us are used to eating the foods that we think that we need to eat that are good for our body. We all have that mindset. We all can relate to that. It doesn't mean we all do it all the time, but we all can relate to it. So how can we start to also relate to, wait a minute, the only control that I have in my life is what I am going to do, how I am going to act in any given situation. I have no control over anything out there. So how can we start to strengthen that mind muscle that when we go to the worry thought, wait a minute, I got this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I got this. I can't control whether I'm going to get COVID, like you said earlier in that example. I can't control if this certain outcome is going to happen, but I certainly am doing everything possible to help the outcome be as favorable as possible. And I think that's the whole situation. I think I just laid out the whole situation. Worry doesn't help. So how can I do the things that will, it doesn't ensure that the outcome will be favorable or be exactly what we want it to be, but we got a pretty good shot at it being acceptable or being that we can handle it, knowing that we can handle it. And I think that it's just so necessary to be conscious and start using some practices and some of these tools that we're giving, that every storm runs out of rain. Wait a minute, I got this. All is well in this moment. I'm confident. I have everything that I need to handle any situation that comes my way, but it doesn't mean that I won't be sad or stressed out or anything. It just means that I've got this. I am really confident and secure in myself.
Well, and that takes us back to the episode that we just did about mantras and affirmation repetition, because when we think back to the importance and power of that practice, it is the practice that brings us back to the present moment. And I think thinking back to some of the situations in my life where I've been the most worried or the most uncertain or the most scared or unsure or any of those things, using those that practice of repetition that would bring me back to the present moment, that would help me to remember that, like, it's so hard to be in the present moment when life is hard, when it's hard when life is hard. So profound. But it's like moment by moment being present, like inches you along, and then you realize you've moved through it. And it's almost like it can help you not, you know, double down on yourself when you're already in a not so great place. And I think about the power of repeating a mantra or an affirmation or a prayer or something positive all the time. That's why we say a practice. And that's that example of taking your brain to the gym. You know, you start doing it. It's kind of hard. It's kind of weird. You don't really understand maybe why you're doing it. You're not used to it. But then you keep doing it and it becomes a little more comfortable and a little more normal. And then it kind of starts to become second nature maybe. And then it did pop up in really, really, really difficult times. And I 100% credit it to getting me through these difficult times. And I can vividly take myself back to some of these difficult moments in my life and know that if I didn't have these practices and I hadn't been committed to taking my mind to the gym, I would have been in a place of worry and anxiety, and that would have made everything worse. And not to say I didn't worry, but it was like, oh, what about this, this, and this? Okay, then that's when my practice kicks in, and it cuts it off faster than it would have, to where I'm not, you know, so far down the road of worry that it's hard to bring myself back. And that's like everything. That's the lifesaver of the difficulties of life, because you realize then, wow, I really did handle that so much better. And even though that might've been my biggest fear or my biggest worry, that actually happened. I got through it. It wasn't pleasant, but I got through it.
You know, Michelle, there's no greater feeling than that, is there, that you... Oh my gosh, that 15% that does happen. Oh my gosh, I nailed it. I am really proud of myself. Wow, I can get this thing called life. I can play this game of life really well. I mean, there's almost no greater feeling than that. It's one of the top feelings, knowing that, wow, I just handled something that I wasn't sure that I could. And this is amazing. So these are the little building blocks that give us more trust, more faith,
confidence.
Having faith, confidence, having faith in yourself. So think of this example. I love this example too, that chronic worrying, and in my mind, worrying is overthinking. Like we're constantly, our mind is on overdrive thinking. So that worrying, chronic worrying, is like leaving a light on your car overnight. So you leave the light on your car overnight. It's a slow drain on the battery. And you get into the car to go somewhere and you can't. And I feel like that's what chronic worrying, that this idea that we're always worried or that we're thinking about things that haven't happened yet, we're using our energy to worry about things that are completely out of our control, like you said before, Michelle. And it's a slow drain on our lives. It's a slow drain on the productivity and the creativity and the happiness and the joy that we can be having and the success that we can be having. And I think what you're saying is so true, Michelle. What helps to manage this overthinking of worry is replacing it, is understanding, wait a minute, if there's an action I can take, I'll take it. Most of the time there isn't. So the action that I need to take is replacing it with a truthful, positive, gentle reminder that this too shall pass. No feeling is ever final. I'm not going to feel this way forever.
Or,
all is well in this moment. Let me come back to this moment. And I just want to say something about these mantras or affirmations. Finding one that speaks deeply to your heart. What I use a lot is this too shall pass. That reminder that, wait a minute, this is not going to last forever. I got this. I got this in this present moment. And I know that I have it when the worry that I'm thinking about right now actually does happen. Or all is well in this moment, because how often do I leave the present moment? How often do we all leave the present moment into the past worrying about something, embarrassing moment, you know, that I did or said, or thinking about things that happened in the past that, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. I wonder what they're thinking of me, and all those kinds of things that we do, and coming back to the present moment. So the past and the future keeps us stuck. I think that's the thing that I really realize. And even going through the, you know, the suffering of this past few years with the divorce, I thought, wow, I was stuck so often because I was so stuck in the past, or I was so stuck in the future with worrying. And I think that that's so beautiful. And I'm so happy that I wouldn't have wished this whole experience on myself, but it sure taught me so much about myself. And I just want to add one more thing, Michelle, that we talk about suffering that leads to more suffering. And you were just talking about that moment in your life that was really, 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 really hard and doing the hard thing. And had you given in to the worry and the suffering that you were experiencing in the moment? Because let's remember, suffering happens, pain happens, sadness happens. Not worrying doesn't take all of this away. It takes you piling on to the suffering. And I think that's what's so important to remember. We're not saying that all of this makes life, changes the outside world. It makes our handling of our lives. It makes the actions that we're going to take more manageable. It makes us become more cognizant of what to do. We become more creative. We become more open-minded. We just have so much ease in our step, I think. I feel when I've done something that I knew that was maybe difficult, that I wasn't sure about, and when I handled it better than I thought that I would, it's so joyful.
Yep. It really is. But it also, it frees up your brain and your energy for just peace, or like you said, creativity. I think so often of your example of being in the car and the times where I'm worried about being late or I'm running behind or going into a meeting that I have anxiety about and I spend the whole car ride in anxiety, it's so unpleasant. And I, of course, this is going to be a part of life. We can't get rid of this completely, but it's having the contrast and experiencing the difference between being fraught with anxiety and worry and uncertainty versus counteracting that, reminding myself what's true, what's real, what's in my control, remembering that I've got it, remembering that, you know, I can handle what comes my way. It just feels, life just feels different that way. And I think that's that practice that we've been talking about with taking your mind to the gym. The more that we just lean into that way of life, you know, little by little by little, it starts to become our second nature. And a little easier and a little easier to not fall into that worry trap.
And I think that's the ultimate act of self-love. What you just said and what you just laid out for us is I just kept feeling this overwhelming sense of love, of self-love for ourselves. It's, you know, honoring ourselves in the highest and most important place in our lives, really giving ourselves that grace that we talk about. And I think when we do that for ourselves, when we actually start to practice this and we actually start to get it, that we are worthy of so much more. And we are so magnificent. We are the magnificent human beings walking this planet. When we start to really get this and then we start to put it into practice. And as you said, Michelle, worry's never going to go away completely. Nothing is perfect and nothing ever goes away completely. But we stop doubling down on our suffering or our pain. We stop really making our lives more miserable, actually, than they need to be. And I believe then you start to be able to be open and receptive to that whole phrase, don't worry, be happy. You know, because I think
Bob Marley.
Yeah. I love Bob Marley, but I thought, don't worry, be happy. When in the old days, before I even had a practice, like, what the heck does that even mean? I have to worry because everything is worrisome. I just didn't have any kind of sense of my own self from the inside out. And so I couldn't put that sentence together, but I love listening to his music and I loved him. So I knew there had to be something there back in the day, but didn't actually know how to do it. Now I know how to do it. When we can stop ourselves from worrying, we can actually put worry into the perspective, into the place where it belongs. We can be happy. We really can feel that happiness from within because we are giving ourselves that love and that kindness and that sense of acceptance and trust and faith in ourselves. We are elevating ourselves to such a place of importance of where we need to be for our own well-being, for our own emotional well-being. And I just think it's a really beautiful place to be. It's tough. It's hard. But I've really been keying in on this idea. I don't want to add to my suffering when I'm already in pain or when I'm already sad or when I'm already worried. So if I feel I'm worrying, I ask myself right away, wait a minute, I'm making this worse because I'm piling on. I'm over-exaggerating. I'm going back to things that happened in the past. I could go on for hours and hours on this because I just want all of you to really get it in your core and your being that there are things that we worry about, of course. And we can take the actions to bring ourselves into a sense of ease, into our sense of faith and truth and trust in ourselves. And that's what I think we're here to do. We're not here to keep piling on the suffering and the pain. We're here to use our creativity and use our brains for what they're meant to be. And that's to be creative, to be successful, to do all of the things that we want in our lives. We are the bosses of our own lives. We aren't the boss of anything out there.
Yes. And I think thinking about worry for our own lives, but then like we always talk about the micro and the macro, you know, there's a lot of worry for things that could happen in the world and in life. And, you know, being in an election year, there's just a lot of worry, whatever you believe, like just that's one of the biggest things we've gotten as requests and just wanting us to talk about just how to deal with the worry of the uncertainty of what is to come in the world. You know, I know like there's just a lot to worry about. And I know we've talked a lot about worry in this episode through the lens of like our own personal lives, but the same is true for the world. I could sit here and worry about all of the potential outcomes of things that scare me or make me sad or just that are against what I believe or anything like that. And still, that's outside of this present moment. And even my worry for those kinds of things in the outside world, it doesn't impact it. I'm not helping to prevent any of that from happening with my worry. And so if you're struggling with some of that in the times that we're living in, just remember that what goes for your life can also go for how you relate to the world around us. And I think especially in these times that we're living in, being in an election year, if you find yourself worrying about things, really ask yourself like what you can do to take action in things that matter to you so that you're not just ruminating about the potential possibilities that scare you.
That scare you and that haven't happened yet. And I think I just absolutely love what you said, Michelle, that worrying about the world and worrying about the state of the world and worrying about all of that doesn't help one bit. It doesn't do anything. It's like sitting in the rocking chair doing something, but it's not getting you anywhere and it's not helping. So that is an unbelievable example of why worry doesn't help. And we're not even in that space yet. We don't really know what the outcomes of things are going to be. So using your energy, because worry is taking your energy and it's taking your ability to have the confidence and the faith in yourself. And that I think is one of the most important things. You don't want to lose the confidence and the faith in yourself. That is a huge thing that matters so much. When we lose that, it's really difficult then to try to get a handle on all the other things that we're talking about. When you have confidence in yourself, when you have faith in yourself, that you can handle things in a way that you know will be okay, that will make it okay. Maybe, as I said before, it may not be what you want, but it'll be okay. And I think that the other thing that we haven't talked about yet that we could just touch on for a second is I've had several people ask me, how do I come out from underneath the pressure of worrying about what other people think of me?
Well, I think that's a whole episode.
It is. And we've talked about that before, you know, not taking anything personally, what other people think about me is their perception. It has nothing to do with me. So I think I'll just say this. It's the same. That worry is the same. And just ask yourself, what matters most? Does it matter more of what you think of you, or does it matter what other people think of me? And can you actually change other people's perceptions? I think it's really helped me a lot when I was I'm a recovering people pleaser for sure back in my day. And it's helped me a lot to think about, first of all, do I like everyone? No, we don't like everyone. There are people that we like better than others, and that we have our thoughts about that. We can still be kind even if we don't like someone. And that's been my motto. I loving kindness is my thing. I can still be kind, but I may not particularly like the behavior of many people. But I also think, so other people aren't going to like me. So if I have this feeling that someone doesn't like me, or I don't think that they think highly of me, I'll just say, well, you know, that's human nature. If you want to use that whole idea of it, it's just the way that it is. It's the way life is. And there are people that I don't think a whole lot of either, probably. But I'm not going to be unkind, and I'm not going to harm them. But I'm not also going to let that thought take my energy and take my life. I want to put that into something more productive and more creative that will bring the happiness and the success and the joy that I'm looking for.
Definitely. There's lots of different avenues to worry about in our lives. And I think what came to me too as you were talking is just that your ability to worry doesn't equate to your ability to be empathetic. And I think going back to that example of just thinking about the world and the potential and suffering and just everything, it's, if you're someone who cares about things, you worry because you know what's at stake if it, you know, if it's something that you care about. So if you're someone who falls into that category, just know that you having boundaries with yourself when worrying is important, and knowing that you can take actions on things that matter to you to mitigate some of the worry. And I think social media has been a really interesting, a bad influence for some of my worries because, like, for example, you know, if I see a sad cat on the other side of the world that I'm going to worry about, you know, oh my gosh, think about all of the sad cats in the world. And I, you know, I don't want a cat to be sad, but also I can't save every single cat in the world, but then worrying about all of the cats. Okay. If that's something that matters to me, knowing I can't worry about all the cats, but what can I do in my own sphere to help the cats?
Oh, I can tell you, I love that you brought this up, and this is going to be a place maybe where I'll close my part of this beautiful, amazing conversation. This is so profound. So when we're worrying about things that are happening in the world that are out of our control, but we are concerned about them, we have compassion for them, we have empathy for it, we're worried about it, we care about it, we are loving kindness human beings. What I do, if I see something that's happening, which there's a lot, and I do this every single day, many times throughout the day, when you see something on social media, like you just said, or when you just start to think about something, I offer these phrases. I offer these loving kindness phrases. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you be happy. May you live with ease. So in your situation, Michelle, when you see a cat that you're feeling sad for, the answer or the action that you can actually take that I believe, now this is my belief, I believe when I send this out to the world in whatever realm that I'm thinking about or feeling the compassion or the empathy or the sadness for, I believe this is helping. I have that faith. I have that trust. I have that belief. I've been doing this practice for decades and decades, and I've I believe it deep in my heart. So you see that cat, or you see the person, or you see the situation, or you see whatever is happening around you, and just you don't even need to close your eyes. You just take a pause. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then I go about my day. I just had goosebumps saying that again because I was thinking about a particular situation that I said it for about an hour or so before we started recording, and it works. It gives me a sense of, okay, I did what I can do, and it takes away the worry for that moment. Might come back later in some other form, but it takes it away in that moment, and it feels like I'm doing something, because I think, isn't that what we all want to feel like? We're doing something, like we're actually making a difference, or we're actually helping.
Of course.
Or we're actually helping ourselves, and we're actually helping the situation. So practice that.
I love that. That's a great practice.
Give that a try and practice that. And I believe you will find some relief.
Yeah. That's a great antidote to worry. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. And thank you for the conversation, Michelle. And thank you all for listening.
I hope that this was helpful for you all about worry. Let us know. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topic and, you know, whatever else you might want to hear about worry. So please make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maris, at Barb Knows Best Pod, to reach out to us, to ask us questions, comments, concerns, and even request another podcast topic. Also, make sure that you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, so that you're always up to date with each new episode. And if you haven't yet, give us a 5-star review on rating and review on iTunes and Spotify. Lastly, there is a link in the show notes to register for our newsletter, which can keep you up to date with everything under the sun that we have planned for the future. So take away your worries and think about all the fun things that we have planned for the future via the newsletter that you can sign up for via the link in the show notes. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Wayfair's big sale is back, and better than ever. Get ready for Way Day. For 3 days only, October 5th through October 7th, save up to 80% off on everything home. From furniture and holiday decor to cookware and hosting essentials, this is the sale to stock up for the season ahead. Oh, and did we mention everything ships free? And flash deals launch all Way Day long? Don't miss Wayfair's big sale. Get up to 80% off now until October 7th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.